are here may stand. We're going to go to Mark chapter 11. And we're going to read just a couple verses. And I think they're very poignant in terms of our purpose in gathering today. Mark 11:20. Now in the morning, as the disciples passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have the faith of God. For assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses." Father, we come before your throne in Jesus' name. Lord, we desire greater levels of faith, Lord. Raise our level of faith. Impart grace to us that our faith might increase, O God. Give us faith to do things that we have not been able to do, yes, but Lord, need to be done for your kingdom, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, this in particular, we're asking for a level of faith, Father God, that would move mountains, those things that hinder your purposes from being accomplished in our lives and the lives of others, Lord. Yes, Lord. And Father, we also see here, Lord, a hindrance to faith is unforgiveness, Lord. Amen. Purge our hearts of unforgiveness, of any kind of unforgiveness towards our brothers and sisters, towards family members, towards neighbors, Lord God. Lord, even towards our enemies, Lord. Grant us that ability to forgive, that our level of faith may rise up to command the mountains that hinder the forward movement of your gospel of the kingdom in our lives, Jesus. Lord. Even as we gather together today and we worship you, Lord God. Lord. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that our worship would be mountain-moving worship.
Yes, Jesus. Amen.
It will release mountain-moving faith for even just those who are here to have mountains removed in their own lives, Lord. Father, that it would be mountain-moving forgiveness released in us as well, Lord, as we look unto you and we look unto your purposes and we look to each other, Lord, and recognize, Lord, the great love you have for all of us, Father, in Jesus' name. So empower our worship this morning. Amen. Normally before each Sunday service or during worship, the Lord gives me a word just for the day, I just watch and observe what the Lord's going to do in our midst or is doing. And sometimes I share them with a few individuals, sometimes in front of the church, but let me read you the word the Lord gave me today. And that's why we read Mark 11 at the start of the service. So we're going to look to Mark 11 for our communion exhortation. We're actually going to back it up to 11 verse 12, because that includes the house of prayer section, which I didn't include in the reading today, but the worship team reminded me. So the word the Lord gave me, sometimes it's a declaration, sometimes it's a prayer. The word for today was raise our faith level to move mountains, to forgive, to become a house of prayer, and to do your purposes. And that, of course, brought me then to Mark 11. So let's read through this briefly. As we prepare our hearts, we let the word of the Lord prepare our hearts. We let the Holy Spirit prepare our hearts to partake of the Lord's Supper. Mark 11, 12, "Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, Jesus was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, He went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. He's looking for fruit, if you will. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. So the context of this fig tree issue is Jesus is looking for fruit. And of course, as we would continue to read that passage, fruit for faith, fruit for forgiveness, fruit for intercessory prayer. The fig tree as a symbol of Israel. Jesus desired Israel to be fulfilling her purposes for the earth, her purposes for the nations, her purposes for the Lord. So when Jesus doesn't find fruit, I mean, their Messiah is there. This is the key point in their history. This is the turning point, the pivot point. In Jewish history, they have waited for their Messiah for over 2,000 years. He's here, and he expects them to be prepared for his arrival. When he doesn't see this on the fig tree, he's saying, I don't see it in Israel either. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard him say it. Fruit for what? Well, as we've said, so they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you've made it a den of thieves. God's people had exchanged their real mission, which is to be a house of prayer for all nations. Notice it's inclusivity, bringing in all the nations. And you know, where the temple was placed, you had all of this merchandising going on. Consumerism became the driving force for the temple's purpose as opposed to inclusivity. Exclusivity instead of inclusivity. And that inclusivity is to bring all the nations into my house. But rather, you've made it a den of thieves. Now, the imagery there is significant because we have this thing, you know, known as sanctuary, okay? People accused of being thieves or accused of serious crimes, capital crimes, can come into the temple and find a place of sanctuary where they would not be arrested or prosecuted for those crimes apart from a just trial. Well, Jesus says, yes, you're doing your job. You're housing thieves. Oh, you're the thieves. Instead of being the place where you're going to bring all nations to worship me. So they traded evangelism, good news, inclusion, as was spoken this morning from the worship stage, that the Lord was bringing people into the Holy of Holies. Nope, they let them stay out. They hindered them from going in. And who did they bring in? The real thieves themselves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. So the first fruit the Lord is looking is a house of prayer for all nations. See, that the God's house needs to be a house where hospitality and sanctuary and refuge and healing and deliverance is there to welcome people, not kind of an agenda that, if you will, fills the pockets of a certain group of individuals. That fruit's not there. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. The next level of fruit, Jesus answered and said to them, and I know many of your translations will read, have faith in God, but it's the construct in the Greek is have the faith of God. Have God-like faith. In other words, I'm demonstrating God-like faith to you. The cursing of the fig tree is not God cursing human beings. It's this institution that had become institutionalized to be a hindrance to the purposes of God instead of accomplishing the purposes of God, instead of giving people access to the purposes of God, access to the grace of God, access to the goodness of God. So Jesus is saying, when we have hindrances in our lives from God's purposes being fulfilled, that becomes like a fig tree in our way. It becomes like a mountain in our way. And we need to have God faith, which says that any declaration we make to remove any hindrance from the purposes of God taking place in our lives, God will grant it unto us. So Jesus answered and said to them, have God-like faith. For most certainly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt it in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, again, we have to understand how faith works. Jesus isn't saying, I want something in my life. Now work up the faith to get what you want. That's not what Jesus is teaching here. Jesus' teaching is when what you see hindering my purposes in your life aligns with my purposes, you will have faith. It's not work up faith to get what you want. It's wait for faith to be released in you by the Spirit. And because you have the faith, you know that you're in God's will and God's will is going to be performed. See, that's the opposite of the way people think of it. See, anything that puts the focus on you and your own effort is not what the Holy Spirit is saying. The effort comes from the Spirit of God at work within us. And you know what that effort is? That's no effort. That's letting the Spirit of God flow through you. If I don't have faith for something, I don't declare it. Because I don't have faith. I don't say, I don't have faith, give me faith. I say, I don't have faith. I must not be seeing God's will perfectly. So Lord, let me see your will perfectly. So then I have the faith and then I begin to declare. Now I pray for people, whether I have faith for them or not. If somebody needs healing, if somebody needs deliverance, if somebody needs blessing, if somebody needs the grace of God, I pray for people. This isn't talking about praying for people. This is talking about making a faith declaration. When I pray for people, it's one thing. When the Lord tells me somebody's going to be healed, I just look at them and say, you're going to be healed in Jesus' name. There's a big difference. I pray whether I have the faith for that person to be healed or not. This isn't talking about praying for healing. This is talking about moving mountains. This is mountain-moving faith. When you are looking to see what the Father's doing and you're listening to hear what the Son is saying, your focus isn't on yourself and whether you have faith or don't have faith. You're looking to see what the Father's doing. When you see what the Father's doing, you have faith to collaborate with what he's doing. That's what it means to have the faith of God. To have faith in God is different from having the faith of God. Do you get that? Having the faith of God as I see what the Lord's doing, and I just step into that faith, and it flows through me. That's how it worked. That's how it worked with the apostles in the first century. That's how it worked. When I don't have the faith of God, I still have faith in God, but that's a big difference. Faith in God, Father, if it be your will, heal this person. Faith of God is be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, Christians get it mixed up on both sides, okay? They somehow keep looking into them and say, I don't have faith. Well, if you don't have faith, move on to something you have faith about, all right? And the other thing is people just then They get this principle, and so they assume if they just declare it in Jesus' name, they have faith. That's not what this is teaching either. I mean, they declared in Acts chapter 19 for that demon to come out of that person in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. They declared it, and they declared it, and they declared it, and the devil said, I know Paul, I know Jesus, who the heck are you?
Yeah.
And they got their butts beat. The line between faith and presumption is a very thin line. But there's a guarantee that we don't have to walk in that. You look to the Father. What is the Father doing? So what's more important? My looking at a need and saying, I got to have faith, I got to have faith. Or is it looking to the Lord and say, what are you doing, Father? And just collaborating with the Father. Amen. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Have God-like faith. When you have God-like faith, in other words, Jesus knew when he was cursing the fig tree, the Father was cursing the fig tree. He said, it's time to teach your disciples a lesson about faith. And because Jesus knew that, when he cursed the fig tree withered and died. So Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, Jesus is still giving us that room to pray in faith as well as having the faith of God. But then Jesus adds one more level of fruitfulness here. So he wants us to have fruitfulness to become a house of prayer. He wants us to have fruitfulness in walking in the faith of God. He wants us to have fruitfulness in praying in faith. And he adds another thing where he wants fruitfulness, forgiveness. And you say, does all of this tie together? It sure does. You know what hinders our faith in God? You know what hinders having the faith of God? You know what hinders us from being a house of prayer for all nations? Unforgiveness. So people tend to look and say, my issue with faith is that I don't have enough of it. That's not necessarily true. Your issue with faith may very well be you aren't a forgiving person. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Powerful. He's talking about praying for people. He's talking about declarations to move mountains. He's talking about prayer to become a house of prayer for all nations. He's talking about prayer, and he says, when you stand in this kind of prayer, if you discern, and I'm just going to tell you how it works with me. I'm praying for this person and this person and this person. It's flowing and flowing. I come to this person, and I go, oh, that person. What that person's done. It happens when you pray. You start having bitterness, hostility in your heart toward individuals. The Lord's saying it's time to forgive them. Forgive those people. Lack of forgiveness will hinder your faith. Okay? So what should we teach on first? Faith or forgiveness? We need to teach on forgiveness. If you have aught against your brothers and sisters right now, if you have aught against a family member, if you have aught against a spouse or children or parents, if you have aught against your neighbors right now, your faith is being hindered. You're like the fig tree, potentially without fruit. Oh, by the way, if you have aught against an enemy who has seriously harmed and wronged you, you are hindering your faith. It's interesting. I direct all this hostility towards somebody who has harmed me. I can't pray for that person because I'm too hostile and angry for that person. And guess what? Lord, why isn't this person turning their lives around and coming to you and getting their lives right? They've hurt me so much. Well, yeah, they won't. You know where I'm going. Well, they won't repent, Lord. No, you have hostility toward them. You're the hindrance of their getting whole. We would rather scream and holler and rebuke at each other to change than to forgive each other and to pray for each other that there might be a release. See, that grace that you release towards somebody who has harmed you is some of the most powerful, miracle-working reality in the world. It is so powerful. It's, what's the greater battle? You're fighting with a demon to come out of somebody, or you're fighting with your own heart, your own angry, hostile, hurt, wounded heart? Which one's the greater battle? I know which one's the greater battle. I'll take fighting with demons any day of the week. They're way easier to deal with than the darkness in my own heart. Okay? So although for all you self-styled rebukers of all that's wrong in the church, you might be the reason that those things remain wrong in the church. Jesus, I'm telling you, he sobers us up, doesn't he?
Yes,
oh, I needed that. Thank you, Jesus. But if you do not forgive, and this is heavy, it's not just if you don't forgive, you might be hindering the very person you won't forgive from receiving this powerful grace of God. But he says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Whoa, Lord. Now, this is an appropriate word for the Lord's Supper, because a couple things are at work in the Lord's Supper. When you are partaking of the body and blood of the Lord, you're asking the Lord to forgive you. Thank you, Jesus. See, there's no end to the forgiveness of the Lord. What I always say is the Lord is the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and seventh chances and 82nd chances and 423rd chances and 490 chances in a day. Lord, how often should I forgive my brothers and sisters when they sin against me? Seven times? The Lord says, seven times 70. And for those who've been involved in the Wednesday night class, you know 490 is a specific number. That's the 490 years from the restoration of Jerusalem to the ministry of Jesus. It's talking about 490 as a number that symbolizes God sending his son to accomplish all the ultimate purposes in the universe. And Jesus equates it with his disciples with forgiveness. Like, if we wanted to sum up your entire gospel in one word, Jesus, it would be forgiveness. Could it be that forgiveness? Is that amazing? Now, we know there are other summaries like love, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. We get that. But forgiveness is that word. The other thing is, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, when he was speaking about communion, he said, if you're divided against each other, hostile, unforgiving, you're in your little political party or ethnic group parties or doctrinal parties, you know, don't even come to the Lord's table because you are divided with one another. So the Lord's Supper is about forgiveness and it's about unity. Lord, I am asking for forgiveness for my sins. I'm not preaching to the choir here, Lord. I'm preaching to myself, Lord God. I know, Lord. Unfortunately, I know what anger and hostility and bitterness toward my brothers and sisters means. I've been a man who struggled with anger all his life. I get it. I'm preaching to myself. If this doesn't apply to anybody else, well, it applied to me, Lord, today. So I am asking forgiveness for my sins as I partake of your body and blood, but I'm also asking, Lord, in fact, I'm agreeing that I will forgive others. I will forgive others first before I work out their doctrine, before I work out their behavior, before I work out their lives. I will forgive first, and only then will I even be authorized to say, mountain be removed in your life, false doctrine, false way of life. What harm you're doing to people. So, Lord, I will forgive. I ask your forgiveness, and I thank you for it, Father. I will recognize that you desire unity in your church, and that unity is based on love and forgiveness. So, Lord, we look to the love and forgiveness you demonstrated to us in sending your Son to die, to take the penalty on our behalf, to proclaim us innocent, to proclaim us pardoned. We're innocent, we're pardoned, not because we did anything to deserve pardon, because you pardoned us by paying the price. We were charged with a capital crime. The judge was about to sentence us, Lord, and you came in and said, sentence me and let them go free. In fact, I'll take the sentence for everybody in this room, in this courtroom. Let them go free. I'll pay the price. I thank you for that, Lord. Out of thankfulness, Lord, you generate forgiveness. You generate faith. You generate grace. You generate life. You generate love. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I really don't care for these headsets because I think I'm in a 747. And I don't want to be driving one of them. Praise God. Lord, I thank you so much this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yesterday, let me say this real quick. Yesterday, as we was out, we were doing, you know, flyer distribution. And we met a young man. And he reminded me of myself, but it was God that covered me and guided me to where I'd be staying up here today. And what's your name again, bro? John? Jan? Everybody turn around and point at him. In the name of Jesus, you will walk. You will walk. See, the power is in you believing and the word that we speak. You will walk. You got to believe it. I can believe for you. You got to believe it. Father God, cover him. Watch over him, be with him in the name of Jesus. He came here, Lord, because you summoned him to come here, Lord God, and we just pray over him, and we're going to love on him, and we're going to help him as much as we can, Lord God, because that's what you would do. We thank you and praise you for him in Jesus' name. Amen. Powerful, powerful, powerful. That's what we're here for. See, let me tell you something, man. Oz, you and Jan. See, God knows who needs to be with who, which pastor, which leader, which apostle, which prophet. He knows it. And see, sometimes you get a chance to go places and be nurtured, and God takes his time getting you ready for ministry. And that's what they did with me. See, now I'm starting to see the full fruits of all that's been going on the last 13, 14, 15 years, how many ever it's been, I lost track. It's coming to pass now because they planted the seeds and God watered it. Or God planted the seed and they watered it. And the thing I want y'all to understand is, be as hungry as you can for what God wants to do with you. This thing ain't no plaything. It ain't nothing to play with. If you still alive and you got breath, you can do some mighty things for God. And this morning, I just want to say, God, use me the way you want to use me today. And Father, I thank you so much. Because he changed my life. See, I'm starting to understand, man, it's not in things all the time that you're great or you're worthy. It's not in having things. It's all about what you know and who you know. If you know God and if you know Jesus, you got everything already anyway. Oh, that was a good place to say amen. See, because it's true. We all have been going through time and time again, struggling here and struggling there. Sons, daughters, jobs, whatever, cars, whatever it is. It's going to always be something that you have to overcome. But as long as you believe that Jesus already overcame all of that stuff and that you serve him, you're going to overcome too. But you got to believe it. Let's go to scripture. Let's go to scripture. Thank you, God. Eyes, I really appreciate you because Pastor Rob, I thank you, brother. So many years ago, we talked when we was in ministry school, and I really thank you because I didn't even know that I needed this. I didn't know it then, but I thank you, bro. I really do because, see, you got to understand God has a special time for everybody to come out, and I keep telling you this. I'm looking at prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors and teachers sitting here. I'm looking at you because I learn now to slow down and quit looking at the flesh so much and look through the spirit eyes, because your spirit, your spirit, soul, and your body. And your spirit is its own entity. Because when you die, your spirit goes to be with Christ. See, you gotta understand, you are more complex than you think. Okay, God allowed man to make cars. He allowed man to make houses, jewelry, and makeup and dresses and stuff to make our women pretty. But that is not what he put in our lives to dominate our thoughts. Some people, we dominate our thoughts too much. We let fleshly things dominate our thoughts. Watch this. Go over to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and watch what this says. Let me show you. Take you through. We're going to go over a few scriptures today. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Now watch this. I'm going to read 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. So it wasn't even nothing there. How did he create it? How do you create something that's not there? He did it through faith. He did it through faith. How did he get it done? Watch what it says. And the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit. Guess what? That same Spirit is in us. Oh, come on now. That same Spirit that moved upon the waters, it moved upon Jesus, and guess what? Jesus breathed on us, and now it's in us, and it wants to move on us. Come on. I want you to understand this, because God dealing with me about it. He been dealing with me about it. Okay, let's go to let's go down to verse 26. Watch this in verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. Watch this. And God said, let us make man in our image. It was only him. It was him, the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus was there too. Jesus was there too. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. After our likeness. So that means he spoke into existence worlds, people, animals. We can too. We can speak into existence with his Spirit living in us things that need to be done according to his will. He didn't give it to us for us to sit back and flaunt and floss and floss saying, look at me. He did it so we could impact someone else. Someone else. It's always about someone else, people. It ain't never about you. Even while you're learning, it's about someone else. You know, I know some days I'll be like, I am not answering that phone because I know Bird got some crazy question. But I thank God for him. Man, so sometimes you can be in the Bible so much, man, the scriptures start running together. And you'll be trying to remember what the meaning of this one is and what happened here and what happened there, and you can't remember. You got to call for help. And he in the morning, noon, and night, and he helps me to understand it. Now it's my job to help you all understand it. See, because everybody is different in their own way in here. And God wants all of us to touch people wherever we go. Love. What is the world? What is the thing that the world has little of? Love. How do I know? All I gotta do is wait for the 6 o'clock news to come on. And the whole time is on. It ain't talking nothing about love. It's a couple short segments and it come on and go off that quick. Oh, yeah, we did good over here. So-and-so did good over there. And boom, it's gone. But then back to, oh, a plane crashed and they bombed this over here. And listen to me. God want to use you. I know y'all are like, man, every time he get up there, he talk about that? Well, you know what? That's my job. Because I'm not doing my will. I didn't die for you. But I noticed that he died for me. So this is my chance to give back and to say, I recognize what you did for me, Jesus. I'm giving back. You reached down and got me out of muck and mire. See, that's love. Pulling somebody up that was a robber, a thief, drug dealer, and then brushing me off and telling me how much you love me and telling me how good I am and filling me with all these good things. He gave me a new birth. That was the Adrian before Christ. That was the bird before Christ. This is the after Christ. This is the now. And I feel good. And he wants you to feel good too. He wants you to. You got to get out of yourself. It's a hard thing to do. I know it is. I know it is. Because I'm not fully out of me. But boy, I'm learning how to listen. I'm learning how to listen. Let us make man in our image. We are made in his image and in his likeness. You got to remember that. It's not you doing the work. The work you need to do is get in the word. You get in the word and learn how Jesus did it, and that's when he'll begin to show you how to do it. Amen? Watch this. Okay, let's go back to verse six. Watch this. Verse six said, and God said, seven said, and God made. Verse eight, and God called. And nine, and God said. The things Jesus was saying are containers. They're containers. Words are containers. They carry blessing. And they carry cursing. This was blessing. He said, and it happened. He said, and this happened. He said, every time he said something, it contained something that was doing something. Every time you speak negatively, you're opening up the door for Satan to run with it. Just letting you in on a little secret. Because you don't hear too many people preaching that. You open up the door. He's waiting, listening for what you're going to say. Oh, man. Woo. Woo, man, my back is killing me. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. He's going to be on that to make sure to see if he can do something to get you set up to kill you. Man, my feet hurt so bad. Man, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can make it. He's waiting on negative or words that's contrary to the Bible because that's what happened with Eve. Okay, let me go back. Let me go over real quick. Let me show you something. Let me show you. Watch what Eve did. Watch this. Watch this real quick. And watch this when he. Okay, I'm in chapter 3, verse 1. And you have it say, man. I'm going to show you something. And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now watch what she said. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God have said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. Then you know what he came with, that old slick lie he told. See, she already knew God had said it. And this is the thing I'm learning now. He's telling me, bird, he said, you gonna flow in the gifts of the Spirit. You gonna flow in prophecy. And Oz, I'm gonna say this. You and Jan, it's gotta come. Because you know why? He told me, he said, every time Oz get up there and speak, he's speaking something prophetically. Because he's an apostle. And he said, and Jan, she's a prophetess. See, you got to understand, God got a plan that's bigger than what you're thinking about. Your thoughts ain't nowhere near his thoughts. See, they got to go up for us to go up. We can't go no higher than our leaders. Oh, God, come on, y'all. We can't go no higher than them. Not that we praying it on them, but the time is coming. The time is coming. I really didn't want to. I didn't want to speak that. But I had to. Because I know sometimes when you pronounce things on people's lives and they ain't ready, man, whoo, it can be tough. But he's ready. He's always up here speaking life. He's always speaking love. Amen. He's ready. He's already ready. But we need that because it's apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers sitting here right now. And how are we going to get, man, God, this is not the message. How are we going to get where we going? This is not the message. How are we going to get where we going if they don't go up? This is not the message, Lord, but I'll take it. Thank you for helping me. Okay, let's go to John 6:63. Now remember, words are containers. Words are evil. Hey, man, didn't I tell you don't call me that no more? They evil, or they can be loving. They can be good or bad. Right or wrong, words contain things. 663, John. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You just cut in whenever you want to, don't you? Amen. Watch this. And this is this part of the word. 663. It is the spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What are we supposed to be speaking, y'all? Spirit and life. If we're supposed to do the same thing he's doing, that's what he's called us to do. Let me say something. I hear the Holy Spirit saying, it's discipline that's needed. We got too comfortable just saying what we wanted to say. But when you know death and life is in the power of your tongue, you will really shut up sometime. You will, because you realize that your words are like swords or bullets. They can really hurt somebody. You can say something to somebody and they carry it the rest of their lives. Let's go over to John 14, verse 11. I'm just trying to help y'all because he been on my head and I'm like, wait a minute, Lord. And he's like, now I want you to share what I'm sharing with you. But when he's sharing it with me, I'm crying because it's convicting me. It's making me realize, bird, I'm taking you to a higher level. You have to watch what you say and do because your words will hit the mark that it goes to hit. The thing that you purpose it to do, it'll do. You can't speak negative. You gotta speak love. And then again, how am I gonna be telling you how blessed you are and what the Lord wanna give you, and then turn around, I get out here at the gas station and I'm over there cussing this guy out, telling him because he snuck in there and got the parking space to get his gas before me. I'm cussing him up and down. How can God use that? Boy, he really got on me about that. You talking about somebody was angry? But give God time to deal with your heart. It'll be pliable, man. He'll have you boo-hooing. If somebody die, you don't even know, you'll be boo-hooing about that. I'm so sensitive now, man. I can hear stuff on the news or hear stuff on the radio. The news on the radio, I'm be like, man, God. Man. So unfortunate. Bless that family. I'm just beginning to pray. That's the sensitivity God is looking for from us. All right, let's get to this. All right, let's see. 14:11. Watch this. He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Watch this. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is concerning ministry. Greater works than these shall you do. The greater works, he's ready to help you do them. If you can get you out of the way. See what I'm saying? I mean, I know it's hard. It's hard dying. It really is. Because you've been dealing with who you are, you know, for years. And sometimes it gets hard. But when you start to get sick and tired of being sick and tired of yourself, then you'll die. Then you'll die. You know, I come home from work some days and I'm like, man, God, it's just me and you. He said, that's the way I want. That's why I got you where you are. He said, because it ain't about nobody else. It's about me and you and what I want to do. You ask me to use you, I'm getting you ready to use you. Because we don't know that the true blessings that he want to give us is on the other side. But you got to do the doing first. See, we keep praying, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, bless me, oh Lord, bless me. You ain't doing nothing. Faith without works is dead. He wants you to get out on the street and talk to people you don't know so that he can talk through you. He can talk through you. See, Pastor Philip, you're in a beautiful, beautiful spot because there's always somebody coming through. Oh, my God. I know you be having Holy Ghost. His whole time at work, it be Holy Ghost filled, praise, worship, angels singing, all of that stuff because he can just minister because he's a hairdresser. And he can just, they got to sit in that chair and listen to him till he's done. They can't go nowhere. They handcuffed to the chair. And he can just get on in. And then his wife, Janine, she's so prophetic. My God, it just come out. She be up here singing, in words, here they come. See, it's that's how God is. You don't know the day and the time he going to want to use you. But he wants you to get the word down in you so that it can come up. See, it's things in our heart that's stopping it from flowing out like that. It is. It's things in our heart. Now, let me tell you this. God dealt with me for about 2-3 years. First, he started off, get the TV out of your room. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, Lord, I'm going to get it out. Then it was, get the TV out of your room. Then it was, man, when you going to get the TV out your room? It's been 3 years. I was like, get the TV out of my room? He said, get the TV out of your room. And I took that TV out of my room, man, and you talking about scriptures opening up, hearing him. Now the TV ain't in there. I'm praying longer, praying more. And he's showing me things that I never would have saw if I wouldn't have been obedient. See, because that's the way God can register where you are. He knows what he can give you. Listen to me, y'all. This is an apostolic house. He's not going to give a 357 to you and he know you can't shoot straight. He ain't getting ready to give you an AK-47 and he know that all it take is somebody to say boo and you mad. He's not going to do it. And you wondering why the power ain't coming. Because he knows you're immature. You ain't going to give no gun to your 4-year-old. You already know what's going to happen. It's happening all the time in Detroit. He's not going to do it. This is spirit and it is life. These words, this thing can change you. I was hardened. I was a hardened criminal, y'all. Trying to get you to understand. Just understand. God wants you, but you have to give him yourself. Teresa, man, I was praying the other day, man, and the Lord was like, man, she got such a powerful prophetic gift. Powerful. He said, Bert, that book you got, give it to her. And I was like, Lord, that's for me. He's like, give it to her to read, go get the other one and give her that one. He said, because it's going to be great, great ministry that's going to come out of you. And it just warmed me on the inside. to know that God is using people that way that I know. Sharon, you're an evangelist to your heart. God, Lord, I love you, man. God said, he said, man, along with the evangelist comes prophetic and a healing ministry. He said, and that's how I want to use you. He said, you got to get away from all the distractions and things that's in your family. He said, they still going to be there, but you got to deal with them in the spirit realm because I want to give you that. He said, I want to give you that. That's a word of wisdom. See how it comes? I couldn't wait for this day. That's a word of wisdom. Mother Joyce, you too. You're an evangelist. And it's some goodies God got for you. You just got to understand. It ain't your personality or character that God is going to do it on. He's going to do it on your obedience to his word. Matthew 12:33. Did I finish reading all the 14? Well, that's okay. I got the gist of it. Matthew 12:33-37. Watch this. And this is God talking to us. He's speaking to us. He really beat me up with this one. He said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. So people at the job now can say anything they want to me. I can't say nothing. But then again, when you think about it, what does it matter? My father is God and my brother is Jesus. It don't matter what you're talking about because I got the power to reverse whatever you're talking about. But it took me a while to get to that point. See, God is serious about you. He's serious. He really is. It's imperative that we be careful of what we say, because remember, let me read on a little more. 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Have you ever been talking to somebody talking trash to you, and then something just come out and it never registered in your mind? Have you ever said something offensive to somebody and it never went through your mind? Because it's in your heart. It's in your heart. You deposit it in your heart. Just like faith come by hearing and hearing the word of God, cussing come by hearing and hearing and hearing it through other people. Oh, that went over good. See what I'm saying? But I'm saying this because you are soldiers in the army of the Lord. He wants to give you things. You got to mature a little more. You got to get in the word a little more. You got to pray a little harder. I'm going to tell you something. Holy Spirit, you bad man. He said the next major move of people coming through these doors is going to come through here because of the prophetic. They ain't going to come to hear the choir sing. They're going to come to get a word. They're going to hear that the word is going forth. It was on point, and they're going to flood in here. See, that's why our leaders, they need to go ahead and get in their positions so that we can get in ours, because it's going to be through them that they help us. God helps them to help us. All right, let me keep reading. 2035, a good man out of good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, this is key here. When I first started reading this, man, my tongue was terrible. And I'm like, every time I speak something, it might come back on me. God was like, yeah. Yeah. Watch this. But I say unto you, every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. What is an idle word? Come on, y'all. What's an idle word? Anything that's contrary to what's between these two pages. That's idle. Y'all don't look too happy, but it's the truth. It's the truth. And so I have to be very, very careful. And the Lord had to show me how deep this thing is. He said, Bird, you can't be standing up there talking to them about that old worldly stuff, man. You can't. He said, because what if I got to rebuke them? Or what if you got a prophetic word for them from me, or a prophetic warning? You ain't going to be able to deliver it properly. Why? Because you chew on the fat with them too much. See, I didn't know all this when I was praying, oh, Lord, make me whatever you want to make me. Make me an apostle. Make me a prophet. I don't care. Do what you want to do. But now I'm saying, if I'd have knew what I knew now, maybe I would have been changing what I was praying. It's crazy. But that's how God is, because his wisdom is way farther than ours. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. You always walking around talking condemning words, talking all crazy out of side of your mouth. It's going to be them words that's going to condemn you. Them same words you speaking. And I'm like, wow, God, I'm glad you're dealing with me about this. That's why you ain't been using me prophetically. That's why what I've been speaking out and believing and trusting you for ain't coming to pass. He said, yeah, Bert, but you got a little bit more in there that I need you to get out. He said, and then it's going to start working for you. But you got to work at it. It don't come overnight. This ain't no name it and claim it. That's something totally different from what I'm talking about. When if you have a spirit and the Lord is inside you, why in the world can't you hear him tell you how to pray about something so that it'll come to pass? That's the thing that got me. I'm like, it ain't nowhere in the world, Lord. I'm supposed to have everything. He said, it ain't about material things. He said, you'll have the stuff that you need. But do the work. Do the work first. Oh, that's good. See, that's good right there. You got to do the work first. Then that stuff starts coming. And it starts coming out of nowhere. But your mouth got to be right. Your mouth got to be right. Because you can condemn, stuff can be coming to you. I said this before. Angels is rushing to get it to you, man. That thing you've been praying about, as soon as you go all off on somebody, you go off on your sister-in-law, somebody call you with something crazy, you go off on them, that thing turn right around. This you, that thing turn right around and go whoop and go right back. Soon as that word finished coming out your mouth, yeah, I tell you, you this, that, and the other. Y'all, don't you be calling me with this and that, this and that. I gave her a piece of my mind, and your blessing just went back. It's crazy how it works. It is. God showed me this. I'm like, man, Lord, you would do that? He said, yep. Because I'm holding you to a higher level, a higher standard. You are an official. You are a pastor. A pastor is an official. You are licensed and ordained. You know what I'm saying? I was like, man, I can't get away with nothing. All right, let's go over to James 1, verse 26. And I'm about wrapping it up. James 1, 26. Now, this right here is something. Chapter 1, verse 26. See, and I really, Pastor, I thank you so much because a lot of things God wants you to learn through trial and error. Somebody can tell you something all the time. Yeah, don't do this, don't do that. Sometimes you don't really learn it that it's hot over there and you're going to burn your hand. Until you go over there and touch it. They've been told you, man, don't mess with that. Don't do that. Don't do it that way. Do it this way. You still go do it. Oh, man, I got to go to the hospital. Got to get my finger, you know, bandaged up. It was hot. James 1, 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not, his tongue, listen to that, seem to be religious. Listen to what James said, and James was tough. I fell in love with him. Well, not on chapter 3 all the way yet. It's certain things in chapter 3. I'd be like, yeah, James, boy, you was flowing with that. No, okay, that's about me right there. I'd be like, man, he got me again. He was bad. He was bad. And John is probably bad. But guess what? These are the guys that wouldn't even say nothing when Jesus was walking on earth. They was just kind of going along, kind of learning the ropes, trying to get it. But look at what happened after he ascended. I'm talking about, man, powerful. He's teaching us, watch what you say, especially those that know you desire to prophesy. You desire the gifts of the Spirit. Be careful. All right, let me finish this up. Let's see. Okay. It says, you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is in vain. I don't understand it. You see people, they be on TV just saying any old thing in ministry. I'd be like, what in the world? How are you saying that? I'm like, man, so glad God sent me way across the sea to go to church. When I first drove out here, I'm like, man, I probably passed about 50, 60 churches to get here. You couldn't have picked nowhere closer. He says, right there. That's where you going is where I want you. I'm like, wow. So see, you got to understand, you got to be careful. And you want to be careful because God, listen, everybody can be used by the Spirit with the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not going to go there because I won't get back. I'll be going on, and that's just too much. Everybody can flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and begin to read it. Now, the offices, you have to be selected by the Holy Spirit through your leaders. And then God will anoint you and ordain you and get you ready for the service of the fivefold ministries. You got to remember that. Okay, let's do this. I'm going to do some quick ones real quick. Proverbs 4, 20 through 24, and then I'm going to wrap it up. Proverbs 4, 20. Man, it's Proverbs. Now listen, this Proverbs, I read Proverbs probably for 10 of the years I've been saved. I was in Proverbs. Because when I first started reading it, I realized that I lacked wisdom. I was so impetuous and so I would fly off the handle. Words would just come out of my mouth. And then sometimes I'd be like, why did I say that? And that's when I knew. And then when I started to read these, watch what it say in 4, verse 20. Watch what this says. My son, attend to my words. What does attend mean? Pay attention. Real close attention and listen, because God will speak to you too. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. This is a twofold thing right here, because let me tell you something. If you get bold enough and get grounded enough and rooted enough in the word, the Holy Spirit going to start leading you to speak what Jesus spoke, and your life is going to change. Oh, my God. Your life is going to change. I just let you in on a big, big secret. He says, 21. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Always be studying. Always. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. Even when you can't read, be playing a CD or be playing the tape or be playing on the radio in your car. Amen? For they are life to those that find them. Listen to this. His sayings, they are life and health to all their flesh. Bro, health. See, in God, he got all kind of godly wisdom and ideas and things about each individual person in here. Each individual person. Proverbs 12, 17, and 18, and I'm going to cut it off. No, it's one more I got. I'm going to do this one, then I got one more. Wow, it's really two more, but I'll do just one more. I want to do this 12, 17, and 18. Watch this. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Our mouths. It can cut somebody quick. Or it can get bigger than that. Some of us speak out and we're dropping hydrogen bombs on people. We gotta be careful. Man, I remember that time Oz was like, yeah, man, sometimes you just gotta be quiet and just let God speak to you. Man, but God told me, just shut up. Golly. I was like, man, I'm trying to blame Oz. But then a couple days later, I was like, man, he didn't say that. And then God said, no, I said it. Shut up. I'm trying to show you. You asked me to help you be all that you could be through me working through you. You got to get rid of that. Then I understood. I'll save it for next time. Let me say this. You know, y'all, it's a lot of benefits. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's a lot of benefits. Let me give you some pointers. Start getting books and literature on the laws and principles in the Bible. Because that's the reason why it ain't a lot of prophetic words coming forth here. The laws and principles is laws to them. This has to happen before that's going to happen. It's principles. But we first have to be careful and we have to be conscious of what's coming out of our mouths. And if and when you start to do this, it's going to take time for your heart to be clean, for your heart to be cleaned out and for words of life start coming out. Because what you've been speaking over the years, it just don't go away. But the power of the Holy Spirit, it can. Father, we thank you, Lord, today. We thank you so much for your word because we know your word is spirit and is life and it's so life-changing. And we just ask that you have your way. Have your way with us. Do what you desire to do. What you've called us for. Everybody has something, Lord. If it ain't nothing but just cleaning the church or cutting the church grass or washing the windows, you got something that you want us to do to help push forward the kingdom. Father God, have your way in the name of Jesus. Now I'm going to ask this real quick. Is there anybody that has not spoken in the spirit here that desires to speak in the spirit? Amen. Thank you, Lord.
All right, we're gonna have a call right now. OK. Okay, this is the call. Pastor Bird talked about the Spirit in you, the Spirit upon you. Two different experiences, all right? The Spirit in you means you have never asked the Holy Spirit to come into your life. That's the first call. We're all going to do it just from where we're seated. People can raise their hands and others will go and pray for them. If you have never asked God's Spirit to come into your life, that's going to be the first call. The second call is for those who have the Spirit in their lives, but you want more power from the Lord, to move in the power of the Lord. That's the Spirit coming upon you. So if there's anyone in here, this is the call right now, and you want either to have the Spirit in you or you want the Spirit upon you, you just raise your hands, and those you can sit where you're at. Those of you who raise your hands, then some of the rest of us, you go pray for that. That's our call for today. Father God, move by the power of your Spirit to release your Spirit in people and upon people, Lord God. This day, Father, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.